crouch, bind, set.
Joe presents the House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Welcome to the jungle.
We've got fun and games.
We do indeed. Brought to you by Joe. Together with our very good friends at Guinness, House of Rugby is back. It's nice to have the Lord alongside. What's been up this week?
Well, it's only Tuesday.
True. What's been happening in the first 24 hours of your week?
Yesterday, Lord's cricket game for lunch.
Nice.
I felt honoured because Leonard was there. So if you get a dinner where Leonard's actually invited as well, you do feel very
special,
privileged.
How was the bus?
Yeah, he was in good form.
Yeah.
He was just going to a dinner when I was going to get the train home, as you do.
Is that right?
He's got lunch and dinner.
He always doubles it up, doesn't he? he never does
dinner.
Singles. It's a bad day for Jason if he's doing a single.
True.
But no, he was on good form. Angus Fraser was there, Nick Compton was there, so
there's
quite a few cricketers there.
Nick was out in Japan with us. And welcome to the Badger. As
you
were introduced
for
a moment or two ago,
it's
Tom May.
I feel that I did him a disservice there. He goes, the cheap man's Richard Gere, which actually, if you look at him now, you go, yes,
I can see a little bit of that.
I'll take that.
How's you? It's the permatan as well as the.
I had a serious bout of man flu.
Yeah, you were grumbling on social media about that. Are you over it?
I thought I was close to death, to be honest.
Did you?
Ended up watching The Grinch with my daughter.
Busy Monday,
slightly
happy.
Slightly different Monday afternoon.
How's you? What's occurring?
Very good. Just. Ducking and diving, willing.
Serious businessman.
Yeah.
We've had a few of those conversations.
Yeah,
how's all that going?
Yeah, it's good. Really exciting. I guess, you know, I would never have said I'll be doing what I am doing now.
What are you doing for the most people?
I guess in sort of banking and payments and that sort of space. But given I was banned from numbers when I was at university, it's quite an undertaking.
You always called a banker when you played, Randy, wasn't it? Banker?
Yeah, something like that. Changed a couple of words. Actually, just one letter.
That was quite high up the list of names that I was called.
Yeah, at the shed. Very nice to have you alongside. And actually, there is a really fascinating dynamic between the two of you here. Should we get to that now, and then we'll peel back through the menu?
It's fascinating for him.
Go on. Where does this story start?
It must wound him.
Yeah.
When we were both playing schoolboys, we played schoolboys together, and Tom, I didn't really get picked through any of the teams. I just kept sort of hanging around like a bad smell. And Tom was the starting centre along with Simon
Bradley.
And Tom, midway through our Six Nations. So I was on the bench against Scotland, and then Tom went on a 2-week A-level study leave camp. So I got to play for two games, and I think scored four tries in those two games.
Who says education pays?
Yeah.
Where would you be now? You'd have a suite at Buckingham Palace.
I mean, I have had this conversation with mum and dad, but it's quite nice to now sort of get it out actually watch it. It's come from tens as well.
And is that literally where it began?
Yes, basically. Tom was picked on merit, probably ahead of me at the time, and because you were playing South East, weren't you? And schools were like Beastie and everyone. And I was just basically hanging around the team, just trying to kill everyone in training. And I didn't need to kill anyone in training because Tom just vacated for me.
Heavyweight Tuesday.
What was he like at?
He's still probably about that size.
Right. You're one of those, were you? You fell in the cauldron.
No, we had quite a good, nice group of lads, actually.
Yeah, we did. I mean, to get through the team, it was...
And then, actually, I was quite an erratic bowler at school.
Right.
So, had actually hurt my back, and I was given the opportunity to go away on that amazing tour of 6 weeks in Australia, or I was going to have to potentially have an operation on my back, so I didn't really want to have that early doors.
Yeah.
So, I didn't go. I probably should have.
Right.
Because these guys just took it on.
Is that the one where you went unbeaten?
Yeah.
Was that nine?
We scored, played 10 28? Games, scored 113 tries.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Including Australian schoolboys?
We put 40 on them.
Who else was in that team?
Sheridan.
Really?
Front row. Sherry wasn't in the front row then.
He was.
Front
row was he second row or an eight?
He was an eight.
Flatman, Mearsy, a guy called John Dawson.
Yeah.
Steve Borthwick, Sherry played second row.
Right.
Then. Jeff Hoppett was moving him forward. Andy Beattie was at eight. Yeah. Alex Sanderson was there. Tony Rock, who played for Saracens for a bit.
England sevens coach, or was.
He was at seven. We had James Grindle at nine.
Yeah.
James Lofthouse at 10. Johnny Wilkinson at 12. Self at 13. Simon Danielli on one wing.
That great Scottish legend.
Yeah. Lee Best on the other wing in Bolshevik fullback.
Simply Lee.
That's a hell of a team, actually.
Yeah.
And just carved up.
Yeah.
Played from everywhere.
Couldn't help but.
Yeah, couldn't help but. Literally, why would you not?
Literally, Andy Beattie, he was man of the tour, would pick up from a 5 metre scrum and then he'd offload it to Bolsh on the 50 yard line. And he just walked out. It was just a joke. Literally, he was unplayable.
113
then,
tries in 10 games.
Yes.
It's probably a tour to get on.
Yeah. Yeah. How was your back off the back of that summer?
I mean, but back, it's probably the there same today, actually.
There are sliding doors moments in life.
Yeah, I've now missed two of them.
That's a big revolving door.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, mate. It was nice to have you here. And we got
it's
so
nice,
much
it's nice to be able to air it.
Let's be honest. You've done all right anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like...
No, I'm not too bitter.
We've got lots... Have a Guinness and let it all go. We've got lots to talk about, obviously, on the show this week. Lots of rugby to talk about. We'll talk about Hask in the Jungle. That's gone well this week, as I'm sure you know. Before we do anything else, we have spotted something I think we've all been hoping for quite some time.
It's
have
incredible.
A look at this. We have got our first piece of merchandise. House of Rugby merchandise being waved in the crowd at the Ospreys Saris game this weekend. It's I'm a Serious Operator t-shirt bearing the grinning face of James Haskell.
It's actually a good picture of Hask because you can't see half his face. Yeah. Not too, you just see, you just see his prominent teeth.
Yeah, very large teeth. Very large teeth.
Well,
on BT
teeth.
Sport, in their live European coverage this weekend, if that person is you and you're a fan of the show and you fancy dropping producer Si a line, we will sort you out with something special. Some more merchandise. Come and visit the set. Come and watch the show being recorded. It would be nice to meet our first flasher.
It would be, but how weird would it be if he wasn't a fan of the show?
he found it on the floor.
He's drying his laundry. He took his laundry to Elliot's car. He was just giving it an airing. If you were just laundering your T-shirts, don't worry so much about getting into
Allianz Park and you're talking about laundry. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that leads us very nicely to the fact that you are able to buy Christmas around the corner, your own House of Rugby merchandise, if you'd like to do that. If you'd like to flash on televised games, then please do so. The bigger the game, the better. And you can buy that T-shirt and many others from the exclusive range of House of Rugby stash. Simply go to shop.joe.co.uk and make your orders. New orders coming soon, including, I'm hoping...
There's got to be.
You've got two due.
Yeah.
Zoe. Which would you like first?
Where's Zoe's got to go?
Where's Zoe? And then Fuck Bucko off the back of it.
Yeah. Actually, Fuck Bucko is a good one. It's not easy to wear out in town, though, is it?
Well, you say that. It's not necessarily family-friendly, but yes, that would have gone down very well. Hoff in the Jungle week two. Have you watched any of it?
Or I've watched bits of it,
Discuss?
Well, you obviously start out by saying, I'm not going to watch this. And then...
Sort of gets to 9 p.m. and there's not a lot else on.
Yeah,
and
now I'm in.
Yeah. I think he is doing well. I think there are other people breaking... Way earlier than him, and
trained him well in Japan.
Yeah, and he's
torture of the mind.
He is actually coming back and being the sensible one and trying to pull it all together. He did have a little bit where Andrew was just lost it. Where they picked 79% of people don't trust politicians, and he was like, "Oh, we're not even going to vote on it." And Hasler, we voted. They were behind you. So we saw a bit of the anger, but in the end, he was right. So
I quite enjoyed the bit where he was just banging on about nutrition. This is just fuel.
Oh, the beans. But then the
21 bags.
21 bags. Right, that's it. I'm taking over. When it comes down to his calories,
he's going to win this, isn't he?
He might do.
I reckon he's got a new
We'd have to have a throne when he comes back. Yeah. Like proper king of
good,
the jungle.
It's a good start when everyone picks him as the leader.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be a bad leader, to be fair, because he does listen to people, but then he will, at some point, just put his foot down and say,
unless you're in
the
bed next to him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, poor girl.
Yeah.
But you went through that in Tokyo.
Yeah, I know.
If only she'd rung you to ask about what happens if I have to sleep anyway. Radius too. Well,
I know how.
Unfortunately, you can't say go sleep on the couch in the suite next door.
Yeah, exactly. Put yourself into the penthouse. Yeah. We can have a heck of a show. Debrief.
Yeah, let's just debrief the headlines.
Let's debrief on that. So, Tom May, welcome to you. Was it 19-year career?
It certainly feels like
looks,
that now.
Certainly, yes, it certainly looks like.
I was brown-haired when I finished work. Yeah, sort of.
Well, were you really? Yeah. Quick skip. Newcastle, Toulon, Northampton, London Welsh, England Sevens, England, obviously.
I was going to play a game with you to see if you could name all these clubs. But obviously, you would have probably smashed it out of the park.
Probably got quite near that, actually.
Would you have still thrown a London Welsh in there?
Yeah, I would have done. Because on Sky, that's pretty much all the rugby we had over the last 18
months. Had some good games then.
High scoring. We used to come down when you were at Kassam and it was 16 people and a lost person trying to get out of the stadium.
With the greatest respect. They sort of wandered in by mistake through the bowling.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Couldn't get out into the car park again. if you were to go back to one of those clubs now, this minute, which one would it be?
I'd say Toulon, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I loved
it.
Because
it topped up the town, didn't it?
Well, yeah. I didn't have to.
In terms of memories, but I thought you meant in terms of the rugby that's been played.
Well, I just meant, I meant you personally, of the journey you've been on.
No, I think in terms of, look, I spent a lot of time in Newcastle and had some great mates up there that I stay in touch with. But I think from such a massive change, I went from the North Sea to the Mediterranean.
Electric beaches
to real.
Yeah. Avenue.
It was one of those places where at times I just had to pinch myself and I was just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's come back to that. Let's start at the beginning. Why rugby? When did you, obviously, military medium bowler with a dodgy bat. When did you know that rugby was going
to
be?
So apparently I used to say to my mum, she used to ask me, as mums do, what are you going to do when you're older? I'm going to play rugby. Well, professionalism wasn't around.
Had that question.
What did you say?
I used to say the same thing. Right. Which was like, you're never going to earn a bean. And then it's like that. My 10 grand contract at Bath was like,
10 grand.
It was like 10 grand.
So that was, I guess,
when the opportunity came. I started at Richmond, semi-pro.
Were you there with Ashley Levett?
Ashley Levett.
Were you there with
played
Ashley
in the centre with Mel Dean and Tom Whitford.
Do you imagine the two centres there, you and Mel Dean?
Not very, very short.
You wouldn't
want to be aggressive.
Wouldn't want to be a winger.
Good point.
He's played fly off, don't they?
You know what I mean.
That was a bit later on. Once I'd learnt to bus. Once that opportunity came. And then I had the opportunity to go to the northeast after having met Mickey Ward during the under-19s.
He was the connection.
So we played against him. What did they have? Didn't have second team, but it was like a development and then first team. So we played before Richmond played Newcastle at the Athletic Ground.
Yeah.
And we played in the like sort of development game. And then Paul McKinnon, who was their coach at the time, said, do you fancy coming up? My grades weren't embarrassingly, because I get even though I had
even you revision course, course.
Well, that was maybe the reason I went.
Right.
So my grades at the time weren't good enough to get into university. They were by the end of it. And then I went up to the northeast. Never been up there. I had one chat with Wilco, and he was like, "It's brilliant."
Yeah. Did you know him anyway from school?
From 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what a place!
Really?
Well, I didn't leave 10 years.
Amazing. Where did you live in Newcastle?
Well, I lived in Jesmond.
I knew you were going to say that. Of course,
you're going to live with
rich pickings.
My first year I was at uni in Halls of Residence, which wasn't great if you were trying to.
I mean, that must have been a hell of an experience, though, to be playing, living the dream.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the opportunity to play came around quite quickly.
Yeah.
I think Rob Andrew hurt his shoulder or something, and I got shoved in pretty quickly.
Yeah,
£500.
Rob made one tackle, did he?
Yeah. So £500 a week.
Let it go.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Every time I played. Which is a student.
That was the best. That was the best thing. Had that as well. If you were in the first team, that was like the biggest thing in your first year, wasn't it? The 500 a week if you got in the match day 20.
500 a week.
Was it 22?
Cash in the boot? Or was that that went through the bank account?
No, it was professional.
And then second year at uni, I got my contract.
Really? Amazing. What was the first meeting between the two of you?
Probably
it would have been England trials, probably.
Or North versus South.
Because I didn't play for the North.
Oh, did you not?
So I played for the...
How did you not play for the North?
Because I didn't get picked.
I love that.
But then Jeff Woppet, because obviously he coached at Bradford Grammar School, which was Quags' biggest rivals.
Yeah.
I had like two moments where I sort of messed up and they were both against Bolsh. I was at fullback for some reason and he dummied me the first time.
Yeah.
And then he made another break. Bolsh used to make breaks all day long.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not dummying me this time. But then he still put the winger away. Right. But I ended him.
Right.
But then that was sort of the two mistakes that I made, and I didn't get picked. Phil Christopher's got picked ahead of me.
Oh, wow.
But Jeff said, look, I'm going to get you a game for the South. I played for the Midlands against the South West, and then I played well in that game.
Yeah.
And then I got an England trial off the back of that.
Remember those sessions we used to do with Jeff Woppet? He'd give you like a 5-minute channel.
That's why he also liked me. It was basically...
Because you were just...
Run the gauntlet, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically 5-minute channel, everyone in that channel, you've just got to keep going.
That's like the Gladiators game, with Shadow, Wolf, and Hunter.
With no soft bits.
Yeah, right. No soft bits, and Sherry just like...
Jesus Christ, tossing people out of the stadium. Early days at Newcastle, were you there with... Was that the Pat Lamb, Dean Ryan, Tony Underwood?
Yeah, Tony Underwood.
Twiggy Marla. Jesus, but that was the Galaxy kids.
I was sat. Tatey just left.
Tim Stimson?
Stimmo was around, yeah. I was sat on a Christmas Day once. We'd gone down to Northampton.
Yeah.
And I was sat with Inger, who was sat in a pair of his pants and a sarong. playing me Christmas carols on his guitar. I was like, I was 19 years old. I was like, what the hell is going on here? Oh, it was ridiculous.
Were they amazing days? I mean, it must be when you look back now.
Look, if you could ever ask for, as young players, you always want mentors, don't you? Or players that you want to try and learn from or speak to loads. Inge the Winger.
You know. Was he the guy that
and he was so good to the young lads. I mean, I had, as Tins will probably back up, I had a fairly aggressive nature when I was younger.
Stop
I had
it.
Small man syndrome.
Did you?
Yeah, massively.
Right.
To the point where Noonan and I got in a spot of bother with Dean Ryan once. Right. Oh, no, it was Gareth Archer once. He left and got to Bristol.
Either one you didn't like.
I wasn't going to say.
They had the Tom May line-out move.
Yeah, they had a Tom May line-out move.
So, yeah.
Which is what?
Arch called the Tom May, so he could try and fill in Tom May. So it was called the Tom May line-out.
Go on. How does this work?
I'm not much of a Norse, but I'd love to know.
We were playing against Bristol, and I think it was actually Noonan that wound up Arch so much, but I was next to him and I sort of joined in. And Arch said, right, I'll see you afterwards. And I was like,
what, after the full time whistle?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which doesn't really get said, does it?
No, that's not really
the spirit
to leave it on the field.
It got that bad that Inge didn't leave my side for the whole time that we left the field.
Wow.
So he took me up, he dropped me next to my dad, came and sat next to me, and it was like, I think I might be in a spot of bother.
Gareth Archer was bad.
They didn't play me away from home because they had this line up.
It was that bad.
Yeah, it was awful.
Archie, how long did this go on for?
Archie's a lunatic.
Quite a while.
In a nice way. I love you, Arch.
Is it resolved now? Have you seen him since?
Oh, yeah, I've seen him since.
Hug, handshake, or run?
Hello, mate. Hi. Out the door.
Very nice. Still got the old speed.
Yeah.
So what did you actually do to piss him off so much?
Well, he was on the side of a mall.
Yeah.
And I said something.
What did you say?
I can't even remember. Right. And then Noonan.
Was it good? Was it one where you felt you landed?
I was king of the average chat.
Right.
And then Noonan called him fat or something and Arch didn't like that. So, you know, then after that, he sort of looked at me and then we scored in the corner.
Yeah.
And I said, and if you hadn't been dicking around with me here, you could have been over there. And that toppled him over. He was just like, right, you're dead, man.
Wow.
Those two together, Archer and Ryan.
Did you have one with Dean?
Yeah. So I had one with Dean where must have been Gloucester, Bristol. Yeah, because Archer was playing with him. We've gone into a ruck and Dean has sort of done
the to wear the big cougar arm guard. Sort of, I mean, God knows how much cement
was
in
spongy.
There.
Yeah, what it was, Bolsh made a break.
Yeah.
And I've gone to try and get on his shoulder to beat the fullback 2-on-1 and Dean's pulled me back. Obviously, no things in those days. I've got whacked his arm and then Bolsh just rounded the fullback anyway and scored. I went, see you fucker, it didn't really matter what you did. And he's like,
good line.
Oh. And then the next ruck, about 5 minutes later, I sensed there was a problem. As I made the tackle, I got cleaned out and I was lying on my back and I just saw the cougar forearm flying over a ruck straight into my throat. I was like, and then, you know, you would have taken it and you thought you'd left it. I went, I thought you were a marine boxer. Oh, is that the best? Is that the best you've got?
Asking for more.
I'd be reversing.
And literally, he lost it. He then started just chasing me around the field, and then he punched me in a mall, and the ref saw it, and he got yellow carded. So I was like, bye, bye. And then after Arch came and pulled me aside, he went, "What do you do to Dean?" I was like, "What do you mean? What do I do to Dean? Just, you know, it's on the field. What stays on the field?" He said, it's not staying on the field. I'd say, don't say anything to him and don't talk to him. He generally hates you.
Wow.
And then 6 months later, I signed for Gloucester. It was, right. And Nigel left and Dean Ryan was head coach. This guy hates me.
First meeting? Off
first that? Meeting. He just said, I actually respect you more for it. But
really?
Yeah. So well, I was literally like that, gum shielded.
Ready to get your first session.
And he was like,
There's always those moments when you're a young player, isn't there, that you just... You know you're going to regret them when you're further down your career. Yeah. I made a line break against Northampton. And as I ran through, I went past Paul Grayson. And I still to this day, I do not know why I did it. And I knew I was going to score. And I just went...
stuck the V up.
And right. I've got a great photo of it. I've got still just before I did it. And obviously, I knew that I'd done that for the next however many years. And I signed at Northampton. We played at Sale away, and I was sort of sat up the front as the older fellas do.
Yeah.
And I could see in the mirror, I was like, oh no, here comes Grace. And I knew, there was a speed seat next to me, and I knew exactly what was going to happen. So he sat down, and I was like, I know what you're going to say. And he was like, why did you do that? I was like, no.
Spent 10 years wondering that myself, actually.
Yeah.
Was he good about it?
Yeah, he was fine. He's a top bloke, Grace. But I basically spent my my youth winding people up.
Which amazing. Was, yeah. Was there more of that back then?
I think there was.
Yeah, definitely.
You could get away with it. Fewer cameras, less press, no social media.
Yeah, of course there was.
Was it more fun? Was it more fun at the beginning of your career than the end of your career?
Well, I think I was in sort of less pain as well. Yeah. So it's sort of, yeah. But I think, you, not that we were probably either of the dirtiest players at all, but
Chopsy.
You just fetch, yeah. You could sort of just get, I mean, if on the mic now, you can pick up everything, can't you? It's just like.
But you can normally pick up Marla still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or heavy breathing. What do you remember about your very first pass?
It didn't hit its intended target.
Right. Was this nerves or overexcitement?
Well, I blame it on Tony Underwood's height.
Right.
He's about the only one that I can blame height on.
He's about the same size as you, though.
Yeah, no, I think I probably got an inch on him.
Right, okay.
But I hit the hoarding on the full. Right. And I just thought, oh, no.
Talk us through it. This is your first game.
What was my first pass? Why you would throw a missed pass at the first pass you've ever had in
Was it off
rugby?
The left as well?
That could have gone even further.
So literally, just early stages, excitement.
Got the ball and I just thought, oh, give it to the quickest bloke on the field.
Yeah.
And it was quite a nice pass, good shape on it, but it just
lovely.
Hit the...
Advertising
horse. Yeah, on the, with a loud clatter.
And that was received how by an England and Lions...
I think he was all right. I'm not sure Rob Andrew was too... I think he was the one to sort of let me know about.
Was it quite old school amongst that crew back in the day? I mean, were they quite hard on the kids if it didn't go right?
George Graham, Richard Arnold, Pete Walton. You got things wrong in there, you'd know about it.
Right.
So we, Nooney and I, for some stupid reason, always used to try and raid the back of the bus and just get filled in.
Right.
George Graham would lead the charge on that.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the... I just couldn't believe how... Most players now, you know, look at the fly halves that play now, they concentrate on their game and they're, you know, they're very focused.
Yeah.
I played against, you probably playing actually, against Bath. Jonathan Callob was at 10 for Bath. Rob Andrew was at 10 for Newcastle.
He's the angry man.
I could not believe these two just carried on. It was almost like, can we stop now?
Right.
It was unbelievable. For 80 minutes of just chopped in at each other.
Really?
Yeah.
JC, worst man I've ever seen at it. And biggest man to say something and push someone else in front of him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You stick it in reverse.
Yeah, he'd make sure he'd be behind Nigel Redmond or someone, or Herman Lanners when he was playing. Or
what Freddie, a player he was.
Frederico Mendes. Yeah, you couldn't lift him, though, could you, Herman?
No. Very good for your go-forward.
Yeah, JC, straight in there. No, chopsy, chopsy, chopsy. And then someone would go for him and he'd just pull someone in front of him and he'd walk to the back. Hey, unbelievable.
Safety.
It was quite a baptism of fire, that, for a young player, amongst those players. They often talk, excuse me, as a player about it being manic when you start, and particularly test match rugby, is your first game goes in the blink of an eye. Did you have that with your debut for England? Did you find it go unbelievably quickly at the start? Because what I want to find out is at what point you both actually felt comfortable at the level you were playing at.
We put 40 points on Ireland, so it was all right for us.
God, you and your cigars from the start. Genuinely, was your debut
easy?
Comfortable and easy and in control, or did it go like that?
Yeah, I would say the game that went the quickest would be the tour game in 99 against Queensland. So there was a centenary test in 99, and we were in pre-World Cup camp, and I played against Queensland.
Yeah.
And that one I don't really remember much about.
Do you remember what you thought during the game? I mean, were you thinking, Jesus Christ, I'm out of my depth here?
I literally can't remember anything about the game.
What happened? Did England win that or lose that?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
You don't even know where you won or lost?
Nah. We won.
You won?
We did win.
But there's nothing...
All I can remember about that game and why I fell in love with Jason Leonard was obviously I wasn't... We only got one set of kit back then, so I wasn't changing it for love nor money because I might not get another one.
Yeah.
And Jace gave me literally all his kit and his boots and said, just go change that with whoever you want to change it with. Take all the kit.
I've got 110 in my back pocket.
Well, exactly.
Is that right?
Probably not by that point.
No,
but
no, you're like, wow. Who did you change with? Do you remember? Who was your opposite man? Ben Tune or a... He was a red back then. Good player, isn't he?
I definitely didn't change it with Tuney.
Jason Little would have been playing then.
I would have. But I don't think they were playing.
They wouldn't have played
because
of the
test match.
Yeah.
I'd have to check. I'll be able to find out.
As two players, I'm sure someone will let us know. Yeah. As two players, though, who've played a huge amount, particularly of Premiership rugby, at what point in your career did you go from trying to get to the back of the bus and having your head filled in to thinking, actually, I'm comfortable, I know what we're doing, the game is happening, I'm in charge of the game rather than it's happening around me kind of thing?
Do you know, I think, I was lucky enough to be involved in some of the England squads prior to tournaments or whatever.
Yeah.
And I never felt that that was my problem as a player.
Really?
I didn't have the belief in myself that I should have been there. That was my issue as a player. And I sort of felt that all the way through my career, which actually drove me inside to keep pushing, which is, I think is probably what why I lasted so long.
Yeah.
I never felt like I was too comfortable.
Right.
There probably came a point at Newcastle where I knew I had to have a change.
Yeah.
And certainly I didn't feel comfortable when I got to Toulon, and you sort of look around and you're like, right, there's six centres that are
Sonny Bill.
Yeah.
Well, the Sonny Bill was there.
Sonny Bill was there.
Yeah. Johnny at 10.
Contepomi. No, Gitto's got a great story with Gitto. So he was coming.
Yeah.
He was my replacement.
Is that right?
Downgrade.
Yeah.
He asked me to show him around my house via Skype. So I took him around my house on Skype, on the computer. He went, thanks for keeping it warm for me, mate. I was like,
right. Breaking up a little bit there.
He's such a bogan. Yeah. He definitely would have said that as well.
I rinsed him on all of the stuff I was leaving, though.
did you take all the fixtures and fittings? Yeah. I love that. Light switches, carpets.
This guy's not on a small wicket. That barbecue's 500 quid.
Yeah. What do you want? I'll just leave it all away, fully furnished. Yeah. Okay, but that's an extra.
X, Y, Z.
So, yeah.
It's a Versace couch.
Yes. So, Newcastle, you got to a comfortable
I think
comfort
I got
position.
To a point where I felt I could cope with Premiership rugby.
Yeah.
But obviously, very quickly, once you get to that point, you start looking beyond that, and you think, right, I want to get further.
So, how did the Toulon move come about? If you'll forgive me for asking, how did you go from the northeast to the?
I was actually in Mirzi's pad in Barbados,
right? Cash.
Yeah, and I was over there with a mate of mine, and I got a phone call from my agent at the time, and said, "Do you fancy Toulon?" And I was like, "Well, it sounds great, but I've got no idea where it is." So I had to literally look it up and found out where it was. Well, obviously, we all know where it is now.
Yeah.
And I still had a year left on my contract.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Well, how's this going to play out?" And I'd nearly signed for Sale when Philippe was at Sale.
Yeah.
And he'd obviously then moved to Toulon, and he sort of kept tabs on me, and then got me to try and go down there, and it all sort of panned out.
So were you bought out of your contract?
Yeah.
So Newcastle were happy. Ultimately, do you leave on good terms?
Yeah, I mean, Steve Bates was the coach at the time, and he is one of the great blokes. He's such a good bloke.
Glutton. He loves a bit of punishment, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he keeps going back to Newcastle, keeps getting sacked.
Yeah.
How many times did he get back? Three?
Yeah. He was a top bloke. He's like, look, I was 30 at the time. He said, this might not come around again.
Oh, really? So you went with his good blessing?
Yeah, but that's what you want from a coach.
Like the wage bill as well, a little bit. So when you got to Toulon, Galaxy of Stars, great opportunity for the town. I mean, how did it all come about?
It's where his love for budgie smugglers came from.
The first year was great, and I played loads. I signed as a winger,
right?
But I hadn't played wing for 8 months because I've been playing fly half.
That is marvellously French.
Yeah, so that took a bit of time to get back into sort of wing and centre. But I played probably 20 odd games in my first year, and I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Second year was tough because Sonny Bill was constantly fit.
Yeah.
He was a freak to play with.
I mean,
his ability back then was raw, but you could tell he had something that was just out of this world.
Because he'd come from league, hadn't he?
Yeah, and people were still trying to get used to the fact that actually where we would try and go down and clear out, suddenly this ball would just pop up and it'd hit you on the end of the nose or, you know, just look a bit ridiculous. And he'd be like, come on, you've got to be ready for it. And it's like, yeah, but no other human being can do that.
Right.
He was that good.
Was it great fun playing with players like that and with him?
Yeah, because I think once you learned what they were going to do and what they could bring to the game, you're just like, right, I know he's going to step over there, and somehow that long arm is just going to free the ball
around the back of that man.
Yeah.
And were those the Sonny Bill days? Because he's obviously quite a reformed character. Yeah. Actually, he put something up on social media the other day saying that, you know, he's lived a few lives and is now very sort of peaceful.
He wasn't like he is now.
Was he burning
then?
Quite brightly in Toulon?
He wasn't out of control, but he liked a good time. Yeah.
Interesting.
Which was quite prominent. Throughout that squad,
right? So who were in his slipstream, or whose slipstream was he?
So you'd have
was that Joe Van Niekerk?
Joe Van Niekerk was there. Who was, I mean, probably one of the best blokes I've ever come across.
Really,
but quite clearly off the map.
He's gone off the. I mean, he has literally
he lives
gone off
in Costa
the
Rica.
Yeah, that's right. He's long hair,
massive beard.
That is extraordinary.
But you
do
know,
you ever hear from him? Now,
yeah. So I messaged him on Facebook and stuff, and see, I don't know why I did that. but messaged him on Facebook and. You know, he's down there doing
what?
He's got a retreat down there.
Wow. Yeah. Like spiritual cleansing.
Yeah. So he's down there doing that.
We could do with a bit of time and
go hunt Joe out.
Look you out there in a week.
Extraordinary. So Joe van Niekerk, yeah. Sonny Bill, Carl Heyman.
Carl came the year later, which was good. Steen Schofield, who I'm great mates with.
Oh, yes, which of course. Incongruous signing by Toulon, you'll forgive me. You know, a lot of shopping in the north.
Well, Philippe loved him.
Oh, yes, of course.
As did everyone else.
Is he not a bouncer? Oh, no, that's Chez.
Yeah.
Was he too long as well?
Chez came down as the enforcer.
Chez has moved on, though, isn't he? He's in private security now, isn't he?
Chez is enormous now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not that he wasn't.
Is he running doors or is he running an empire?
Might be a bit of both.
A bit of both.
Right.
But Scully lived behind me in Carcaran, where I used to live, and he had these bulldogs. Scully and I, in terms of the way we used to live our lives, are polar opposite.
Right.
He came to live with me when we were both at London Welsh, and it was it was almost like opposites attract.
Right. You're monastic and dedicated.
Yeah, I was just so I was so
packing
boring.
The fags in a pipe.
And he was But this dog would sort of run down, and it would get to my balcony. It would get to and I'd be literally trying to get this shutter down. I was just like, oh my god, like that means Scully's coming.
Right.
And he'd just tap on the window with this bottle of vodka. Be like, oh no, he's made it. You know,
he's like Indiana Jones, rolling in before shuts
with
hat,
vodka.
Yeah, exactly.
His hat, the hat vodka on the way in.
Oh, Tom, we're in.
He tells a great. So he moved in with me when I was at London Welsh, and I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd walk my dogs. I'd cook sort of. Protein breakfast, and he'd smell it coming upstairs, and he'd be like, what is this guy doing? He'd get up 5 minutes before we're about to leave. He'd come down, he'd have a handful of peanut M&Ms and an espresso capsule, and he'd be like, right, our kid, let's go.
He's incredible.
You can't coach that, can you?
He's incredible.
But that's what he was about, wasn't he? He was so good.
Is the game missing a bit of that old school? Is it still there?
You can't do it anymore, can you? No, it's not there. Well, I don't see it. You know, you look at someone like...
It's a bit of it going on in Sale, but not much.
Yeah, but then that's it's all down to the guy who leads the troops,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, it's true.
And Dimes is still going to be Dimes at the end of the day, and he's a good lad off the field, and he's a little bit loose. So then he encourages that, I think. You know, I think, like, Johan Ackerman has brought in a slightly more have-a-beer-after-a-game sort of culture, but some places aren't just like that. And some of the players aren't like that now because they've been in academies since they were 15, and all they've wanted to do is do this and that's just the way it is. You don't get the randomers that haven't quite... You know, you look at someone like Rob Cook, who came from Pirates into ours, and he was a great professional, but loved the pop aftermath as well.
We used to have some amazing weekends with Sky down in Cornwall. Four-day trips for a 30-second on-air, quick half-time, 10-second off-air. 4 days in Newquay, just preparing. God, they were good times. Murad, just quickly before we wrap this up.
Mad Murad. He wasn't shy of appearing in the change room.
Right. And telling you how you should be playing and the lines you should be cutting.
Doesn't he just say if you don't play better, you're getting your contracts ripped up?
There is a bit of that. I mean, the worst thing that happened to me was we flew to Biarritz.
This is the owner of Toulon, just for those of you that Murad Boujalal.
Flew to Biarritz on a Friday night for a, I don't know, 9:30 game or something that you can only get in France.
Yeah.
Pouring with rain. We're sinking into the pitch at Biarritz, and we lost. And he flew the plane back empty, and we got the bus.
It's amazing. At least you know where you stand.
We didn't get home till like 9 a.m.
I always remember Ali Williams saying that he was owed quite a bit of money and was living in London at the time. So he flew down to Toulon and went to sit in Murad's office until Murad paid him. And as he was walking up to the office, everyone was like, hey, Ali, great to see you. How are you doing? So, yeah, I'm back. I'm owed money. And he had about 15 people saying, while you're up there, could you possibly take on 15% commission? Yeah, exactly. Extraordinary times.
Yeah, I mean...
But built an empire.
Yeah, I mean, a bit like what I said before, you know, when I found out that Toulon were interested in me, I had no idea where it was.
Yeah.
Now everyone knows in the rugby world where Toulon is. Yeah. You know, it helps when people like, I don't know, Victor Matfield were going there. George Gregan's been there. Tana Umanga. He was the coach when I was there.
Yeah. What was he like as a coach?
Unbelievable.
Really?
So good.
He still has... I mean, you'd have obviously played against him. What was he like to play against?
No, I always say he's like the best player that I played against in terms of on the field and off the field. He was just hard, but then such a nice, open person off it.
Yeah.
So he's always my favourite opponent.
Proper ledge.
And he came up with the line... We're not playing tiddlywinks, mate, to the ref, which I think is amazing.
Yes, he was a proper boy. But as a coach, he was inspiring.
Oh, he was great.
Still had it?
I had. See, he was a secret trainer. I'd always catch him. He'd be like, what are you doing? I didn't think you trained. I thought your knees were sore.
Yeah.
But he was great. I mean, I was on the wing at Montpellier once and I had a 25-metre blindside on my own and I got properly sat down. Like, bloke stepped and I sort of rocked back on my heels and he just went straight at me.
Yeah.
And I didn't play for about a month. And mentally, I was broken. But Tana sort of looked after me and was like, what did he say? He said, deal with it and bin it. Wrote it on a T-shirt for me. I've framed it, got it in my hand.
Really?
Yeah. He's also top bloke.
Amazing.
There's a question. Who is the best coach who like played games with you and had the skills to pay the bills still when they were a coach?
Oh, so yes, which coach still had it?
He'd
so Felix Jones, funny enough, who won the World Cup with South Africa recently, was running. It was on Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby this week. Was still had it enough that he ran lines in training, and apparently the box was like, "Whoa, hello," because obviously he was a Munster fullback, but still had enough in there. Who was the coach who still had it when you played?
The best one that I had was Brushy, Brian Redpath.
Really?
Unbelievable skill set.
Really? Even as a coach?
Yeah.
The fitness to get around the paddock?
Yeah. Like, really? He's just one of those guys that never lost it, really.
Right.
And he'd be doing scrum half passing and stuff, and they'd have to bang out press-ups, and Brushy would be just like, right, we'll do a quick 100, and then you've got to do 30 passes. Brushy's like that. Everyone else is like,
are you kidding me?
Wow. Yeah.
But then in like we used to play things like offside touch. You play offside touch where you can pass it in any, multiple directions.
Yeah.
And he'd just carve up, throw dummies all over the place. People would be biting.
Yeah. Falling over.
It'd be embarrassing people.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good shout. I would never
I'll go with Tana.
Really?
Yeah. He could still easily have been playing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do your sort of tackle hits against him. And you're like, right, I'll just...
I'll show him who I am.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, God.
Granite.
Yeah.
I like the pictures of Eddie shuffling about in his suit, hitting breakdowns and things in warm-ups.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the top of that list. very good at what he does, but not necessarily a player coach. You are listening to and watching House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe, together with our very good friends at Guinness and me, Alex Payne, alongside Mike Tindall and Tom May. We're going to talk more about Tom's career in a moment or two. We've also got an Olympic Sevens pick from the best of the home nations at the Rugby World Cup 15s selection. And actually, it's got quite competitive. and Australia have got a new coach, the remarkable Dave Rennie, actually, who I think quite exciting times for Australia. They've also got Scott Wisemantle seemingly going back as well from Eddie's backroom team. But on Liquid Football this week, Kelly Cates and the boys discuss the immediate impact that Jose Mourinho made when he first arrived at Chelsea.
He's always protecting his players, but sometimes you can't be protected when you're playing shit.
When you're playing that bad, I guess it's hard.
Yeah, you can't.
I've been battered by him in training where he's on me. And then I've actually turned around and said, what's your fucking problem? And like, he never spoke to me after that. Right?
I wonder why.
But, you know, it's just on and on. Because I did go through a hard time with him. But I did turn a corner with him at one point and I started playing well. So I've had mixed things with him, and he's always been okay with me. Even afterwards, when I've retired, I've gone back to the club. He's been perfect with me. You know, even when I broke my leg, before that, I was really struggling. But he put his arm around me and said, you're playing really well. I think we had Barcelona in the Champions League the following week. He said, you'll be playing. You carry on the way you're going, you'll be playing. But I broke my leg.
Talk to you again.
To be fair, I think a few weeks later, we won the cup after that, and he called me up straight after us in the changing room. That was for you, and like it brought a tear to my eye that he would do that for the changing room straight after the game. The players were shouting down the phone. Even the difficult times I did have with him, you know, he was good to me as well.
So that is Liquid Football with the wonderful Kelly Cates, available every Monday. Don't forget the Carl Frampton fights in Vegas this weekend as well. Good luck to Carl in that one. You can hear all about it on TKO next Thursday with Carl himself and Chris Lloyd. Do tune in for that. And you can sign up to the House of Rugby Facebook group and join in the discussion there. And if that wasn't enough, let's get back into the chit-chat. So I want to talk to you about England. Do you look back, especially having obviously done a lot of age group stuff, do you look back and think, I'm so glad I got there and I got the test cap? Or do you think, God, I wish I'd had a whole lot, and I feel I should have a lot more?
The last.
Do you?
Yeah. So I've come out of rugby and now I can actually look back, because I think you go through a period where like, I don't really want to look at what was happening. I can now look back and I could safely say I'm not, and I don't want it to come across the wrong way, but I'm not exactly that happy with how things panned out. My club career, fine.
Yeah.
But I still think I should have achieved more. And I know
So at what point and what years did you feel that you were... Probably about 2000, I would have thought. You were...
Yeah. Do you know what? There was, you should never listen to other people, should you, or what other people are saying. And Andrew Moa, remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
Complete Sanker. Lunatic. Sorry, yeah. No. Trying to avoid him at all costs. Yeah, yeah. He's a lunatic.
Go on.
Matt Hampson and Daddy Weir, didn't he? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he was trying to pull me into something I didn't...
Tasmanian
like, oh,
Devil.
Let's go out. I'm like, no.
And for you, that is very unusual, yeah, yeah. As we know.
Well, he's the only man who's eaten a pint glass.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You don't go out with a man who's eating glass.
Eats glass. Smashed a fruit bowl over his head the first weekend in Newcastle. I was like, I'm not sure this guy is.
Okay, you're excused in that case, Mike. I'm happy with your decision. Righto.
I've forgotten what we were even saying.
We were talking about Andrew Moa and at what point you thought you should have been getting a better run.
He sat next to Clive Woodward at dinner and he said, I'm really thinking about picking this Tom May. And I think it was the Six Nations. And I still say to this day to Andrew Moa, you should not have come and told me that. So he came and told me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, if I might get a shot, I might get a shot. And it never happened. And then I started to sort of lose belief. And, you know, it wasn't exactly simple competition in those days.
No, that's a fair point. That is a fair point.
You know, it was Tins, it was Mike Catt, there was Greenwood, Barks was around, and you know, it was Nooney.
Yeah.
Ian Dowie.
What's Ian Dowie doing these days?
Nooney?
Yeah. He's an agent.
Or slash chicken farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now, what was going on at Newcastle at that time? Tatey had an allotment. He was 24 years old, and he
Matthew Tate.
Yes, yeah.
Grew had his an own allotment.
Grew his own allotment and grew his own veg.
Part of his deal.
And Tatey had chickens and was doing laying eggs and living off the. They were both living in the middle of nowhere
in France.
Yeah.
When he's playing Brief.
Yeah.
Is he still in France?
Still living in Brief.
Amazing. Yeah. And happy. And
yeah, he loves it. Comes over. In fact, his kids came over for the World Cup in England.
Yeah.
And they sort of speak in a weird Franglais accent.
Lovely.
Which was quite interesting. So his lad now plays for Brief, the age group.
Good on him. Yeah. And you still keep in touch? And
Yeah. So that group of lads, we're all still in touch. Are you? Grinders.
So he's now a very well-respected IFA. Yeah. I saw something the other day. What's really interesting about this thread is that your lack of confidence as a player.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you deal with that? And how did it manifest itself when it was at its worst?
I think I tried to... Now I look back, I think I probably tried to hide it with the sort of over-the-top brashness and aggressiveness. And I think we needed to be a bit like that as a group because we were quite young.
Yeah.
And, you know, we come up against Leicester at the time. We were just all gnarled, hard men.
Yeah.
And they'd just kick the shit out of us for 80 minutes.
Yeah.
So we had to sort of try and be a bit more brave in terms of the way we came across, but you know, I think that was probably hiding what I was feeling inside.
Yeah,
in that I was never that confident about my own ability there.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary thing to go through.
Well, especially
because you didn't have this at all. You didn't do self doubt at all.
From living inside Clive's regime, it's fine because once you're in it, you've sort of got through it. You look at why we dropped off a cliff in 2004 when everyone, like a few of the senior players. Retired. We didn't really fill those gaps. We didn't blood anyone. So that was the downside. He delivered on what he said he would do in '99, and we'd go on and win 2003. But it was the team didn't change very much. He treated it like a club team, so no one really broke in, did they?
Yeah.
And you know, when you look at opportunities, it was probably 04 to 07. There should have been quite a few opportunities because it was 09 in the end when you got capped, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there should have been opportunities there. But way Clive ran that squad at the time, it was like if you were in, even if you were playing not particularly well, he's the only one who would pick people in poor form because he'd think that would give you the confidence to go out and play and in our environment sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
which is why
certain
people had problems with it. You know, Shorzy and other people who ripping up trees, but not necessarily where you get a game.
There was the Argentinian tour where we went.
Is that 02?
Yeah, and we won down in Argentina.
That's right, yeah.
Phil Christopher's got capped.
Yes, that's right. And Flat played.
And sang the German national anthem on the bus.
Right. Is this debut song?
You know, your debut song. Sang the German national anthem.
Bold. You could say. not easy to join in with. You're looking for a sing song.
Yeah. You're not really going to get support there.
No. It was like, the backing vocals going down.
Yeah.
So that was but you didn't get capped then, did you?
No.
So you went on the tour.
So I think I played in the midweek team with Kev Sorrell.
Lovely. Great player.
Yeah, hell of a player. Yeah, then watch the game at the weekend. It just drives you on to...
So when it came, seven years later, was that...
I was buzzing. Because
really?
The week before we played...
It was Old Trafford, wasn't it?
Yeah. So yeah. I did a double box tick.
Was that Quaitz's kick over the top that then Steph face planted into the thing?
Yeah. Yes, it was. He Quaitz half volleyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dellen
dived on it. He literally
faked through it. Scored with his nose.
Literally, the groundsman just.
Steph was playing. Yeah, it was amazing to finally get there. Because I came on as a sub in the second half of the week before, which was the Barbarians game, which I played in about three of.
Yeah.
Which you're a bit like, surplus.
But you've got to keep going. You've got to keep going. You cannot duck out at that point, otherwise you never get to the top of the tree.
And then Jono pulled me aside and was like, right, we're going to go with you next week. And I was made up.
But. Yeah. I mean, what do you remember of the game and the pride? And
I properly melted Leguizamon. That sticks out in my mind. But as Tin says, I wish I could remember more. I haven't actually watched it back, to be honest. So really? I should probably watch it back. But
Foodie was at 10, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. A bit more.
But I was at the game.
You were commentating with Sky.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah,
extraordinary. So how do you sort of reflect
on the commentary gig? I haven't done one since. I don't think. Not
for Sky anyway. there ain't much to pick from at the moment. Let me tell you. How do you kind of reflect on it all now? Then, I mean, someone who's done so much and been. Because England sevens as well, we haven't touched on that, which is the whole point. Our team in a moment or two.
Who is it? Joe Lydon pulled me in for England sevens, and with it's probably Geezer.
Friday.
Out of all the places you could have gone,
Phil Greening was doing it, wasn't he?
Yeah, Phyllis was there. He was in charge of DJ.
Was Russell there?
No, Gollings, Amor, all fit as anything. Samo, rapid.
Yeah.
I went to London and Cardiff. Samo, who didn't have a I could have gone to Hong Kong, Brisbane, London and Cardiff. And bear in mind, I now live in Teddington. It's like
intergalactic traveller that you are. Rio, Buenos Aires. You did London and Cardiff.
Yeah,
right.
It's great.
Did you enjoy that, or was it sort of
not really? Because it was horrific. Right. Just the most horrific.
How did it come about?
Pain. I think I was like 22 or 21 or something.
Yeah.
And they said, "Oh, well, look, we want to try it," because it was still a part of the pathway then, wasn't it? Josh had been through it, and so I went in there, but I kept on getting stuck in the middle. Yeah. And if you're defending in the middle, it is horrendous.
Right. You want to be out on the flanks, just patrolling the 5 meter channel.
Yeah. So
they come through.
Yeah. Great to have been involved, but not built for sevens.
How do you kind of reflect on it all now in a frothy bath on a Friday night? How do you look back on your career?
You know, amazing to have had the opportunity and actually to have. I'm really proud of how long I lasted.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm renowned for.
just
before you get in there.
Yeah.
But I guess there's still a bit of, I guess, in my mind, unfinished business.
Is there really?
A bit, yeah. Which grates me a bit, but.
How do you put that to bed? Or do you not worry about it and you just.
I don't really, you know.
Yeah. Have you kept any bits of memorabilia or?
Yeah, so I've got your first shirt, and there's only two, so it was.
your first shirt,
And there's only two of them. And I've got the cap in a sort of frame and stuff, which is in my little lad's room.
Medals, Tetley's bitter cut. That was great.
Amazing. Shipped so many Geordies down to. I don't think that many Geordies have ever been in London.
Yeah. So it's interesting you said Toulon as the club you go back. But those
Northampton was amazing.
Northampton?
For different reasons, you know. Newcastle in terms of a group of young players that were coming that were coming through together. Toulon for the experience. Northampton just because it was an incredible place to play rugby.
Yeah.
It's like playing on a snooker table.
Yeah.
Pitch was always amazing. Piggy had it in amazing condition.
Piggy pal.
Yeah. And... Yeah, and then London Welsh was slightly tough on the old body, but...
How are you physically now?
I'm all right.
Are you?
Yeah, my back's a bit...
You creak in the mornings, but you're not kind of...
Yeah, and I...
On wheels yet.
No.
Any man wearing a Garmin watch still trains though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Neither of them has
fallen apart.
No, Tim's is still a big unit.
Of all your crew, of your ilk, who is in the best condition right now?
Hask.
The
97 crew. Bolsh looks like a small whale.
Wilco.
Yeah, Wilco. Probably.
Wilco looks bigger now than he did when he played.
But Matt Gitto told me a story that when Johnny had retired, and did Gitto play for Toulon for another couple of years?
Yes.
And Johnny would go and train him and flog him. Johnny, what are you doing? but that's Johnny, isn't it?
Got into his boxing as well.
Wilco?
Yeah, like into his sort of training and sparring and stuff.
Right.
And he just looked... shredded.
Yeah.
I still reckon I could take him in a ring.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he
just need one.
He wouldn't stop though.
Yeah, he wouldn't stop.
No, it'd be horrible to fight.
Yeah.
Just keep on getting up.
Well, yeah. And you remember after training, he always did those footwork drills where he was jumping and bouncing from side to side. You'd have to do this. You'd be facing this all the time, and you just stood there going, is he going to get tired at some point?
Yeah. Dunk. With Blatter shouting, be a sloth.
You can be whatever you want to be.
Lift. No, he'd be definitely.
You'd be a slugger's puncher. You would. A proper bar and brawler.
If I get you. If I catch you.
A career well lived.
Yeah.
It's been fascinating. I really enjoyed it. I look back now
and I'm really. We played on Sunday, so we had a few beers afterwards on Sunday and then it would close early. Yeah. I now get what Friday nights are about.
Yes. Did you retire? Would you say you retired on your term in terms of how you would have wanted to, or would you have preferred
The reason why I went to London Welsh was to play.
Yeah.
So I actually had an offer to go to Leicester at the time. But I didn't want to sit behind Manu and just be in the gym.
Yeah.
So I wanted to play. So the first year I went to London, in fact, I relegated London Welsh.
Right.
Even though I just signed for them, which was quite awkward. So I scored two tries for Northampton against London Welsh. Came in at the end of the game. First thing Jim Mallard said was, let's all just feel a bit sorry for Tom right now.
That's a little bit awkward on day one.
Yeah. So I went there and played
the season.
Hi guys. Hello everybody. 50% pay cuts all round. Yeah.
So that was a bit awkward, but I went there to play. Played the whole season, which was great. And then, you know, the guys that were managing...
Were you there with Gavin Henson?
No, I was at Toulon with Gavin.
Oh, you were at Toulon with Gavin. Because he must have been watched just before...
Yeah, he was there before me. It was a year before when they were in the Premiership.
How did he go? Because the Toulon thing was quite short-lived, wasn't it?
Yeah, he didn't see eye to eye with Matt Henjak.
Right. Or Johnny?
Yeah, I think there was sparked the
Henjak defended Johnny?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Yeah. So that was quite an interesting evening.
Go on. You're hiding a little bit.
I think we all know that Gavin ended up sort of asleep.
Yeah, that wasn't the incident in Bath. This is the one.
So he Matt Henjak had sort of said hello to him. Yeah,
he was quite a feisty character, Henjak, wasn't he?
Yeah, top bloke. Yes. But actually, Gavin Henson was one of the most skillful players I think I've ever trained with.
Really,
he was unbelievable, but quite big as well. Deceptively, sort of like you'd whack him, you'd be like, oh my god, he's solid.
Really,
but then the ball would be over there. On sixpence,
right? Look good as well. Permatan as well.
Is that where it was?
So he learned all these things from. He knew how good he was when he was just on the field and he was training, but he never told anyone that. So when he had a few, and he was like, "Actually, I am that good. I'm going to start telling people that I'm that good." I was at this point going, "Well, you're playing for Swansea second team. You're not that good, mate. I'm not that
he
good."
He was IRB as it was then, Young World Player of the Year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Who had the greatest sense of self-worth of anyone you played with? Who spoke the biggest games?
Lee Best might be up there.
Yeah, well, Best is always going to be up there. But
anyone that names himself simply Lee.
Wow. Wow.
We told you this story about him when his car was in the shop. I've told that story on the air, haven't I?
Yeah, it wasn't.
His M3 was in the shop.
Yeah.
His convertible silver M3 had to go in and get fixed, and they gave him a Corsa to drive around it. And he pulled up to the traffic lights, and it was a red traffic light. And he looked out the car and obviously saw it in the shop window. And he comes back and he goes, lads, this is not good. I need my car back. I looked in the mirror and noticed people not noticing me.
He was simply the best.
He was a hell of a bloke.
That could be a T-shirt, actually. What's he doing these days?
He's in the city.
He's in the city,
is he really?
I think he went to the size of a house, didn't he? And then I think he's worked himself back back down.
It's a rough road. Yeah. Did you find it post-rugby? Has it been easy for you? We've had a few coffees over here talking about bits and bobs. But
if I had my time again, I would have gone into work for someone.
Really?
And then found a way to try and do
your own thing.
My own thing. Yeah. I went straight out the back door and was doing my own thing, which basically means you're treading water like mad.
Yeah, learning a lot. But...
What I learned a lot about, so, you know, if I'm playing with Tins and what happens one week and I go, right, I need you to do this, and he needs me to do that, I trust him and he trusts me. That happens within any sporty environment, I would say. Corporate world, wow. You say one thing.
Completely different comes back, if it comes back at all.
Yeah, so I learned the hard way a couple of times, but that's all part of part of learning, isn't it?
Do you mentor? Do you help? Do you talk to people about it?
Talk to a lot of guys that are sort of going through that period, and you know, it is becoming harder and harder. I think especially for the guys that have come through those academy systems and they don't know anything different. Yeah. And you come out and they don't know how much what it takes to go and earn 100 quid.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are earning good money. Say they're earning 250. If they want to continue earning 250,
yeah,
they don't know what they've got to have in the bank to continue, or they've got a completely wrong idea of what they need to have in the bank. Yeah. Look, it's a very difficult period, and I think it has its ups and downs, and there's a lot of tough times, but
yep,
you know, I think you learn a lot, and I think the upside of getting it right off field is probably just as rewarding as...
We don't all manage to find our way into Buckingham Palace, so, you know, some people have got a graft. Time for this week's Guinness Perfect Pour. Our weekly test in 119 and a half seconds, because that's how long it takes to pour the perfect pint of Guinness. This week says, in honour of Tom having been representing England sevens, I think we spent about 15 seconds on that, possibly the most tenuous link so far, the task was to pick the best sevens team to compete at an Olympics or World Cup from the home nation's 15s players that competed at Rugby World Cup in Japan. With three subs, best team wins. Tins, off you go.
With three subs.
Yeah, have you not done that?
Well, he's
been lucky. Tom, off you go. Tins, pick your subs.
So I'll go with James Davis from Wales.
Good.
At prop.
Yeah.
He's obviously got a silver medal. Hamish Watson at hooker. This was written
He was in contention. I like that, yeah.
I've got Manu at the other prop.
Yeah.
Gareth Davies at nine.
Yeah.
Joey Carberry.
Good shout.
Anthony Watson.
As your centre?
Yep.
Speed, like it.
And I've gone Rory McConachy on the wing.
Oh, yes, so you've got a couple of genuine sevens.
So I've actually got two players that know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a strong start. Okay.
And then I've gone Tom Curry.
Right.
Finn Russell.
Yeah.
Johnny May.
Interesting. There's good synergy here. We're picking from a pot.
I'm just going to steal some sauce from your team.
We can get
with it. I had Tom Curry, Hamish Watson, and Lewis Ludlam as my front row.
Yeah.
And then
so there's not a lot of line-out options there.
I'm not worried about that.
We don't have lineups.
Okay.
Gareth Davies.
Yeah.
Nine.
Yeah.
Then I had Manu in the centres, and then I had May and Hoggy on the wings, and I had Watson as a...
So that's eight.
As a... on my bench.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, good. Sorry.
And
yeah,
then I haven't got anyone else on the bench right now.
So who... You could go through that again.
So Tom Curry, Hamish Watson.
Yeah.
Lewis Ludlam.
Yeah.
Gareth Davies.
Yeah.
Manu.
Yeah.
Johnny May. Hogg.
So you've got Manu at 10.
Well, no, sorry. We'll flip it. Oh, that's a good point. Well done.
I think you might have.
I'm going, I wouldn't want to be a centre or winger in that one.
I'm going Hoggy at 10 and then Manu can go.
Okay, that's nice. Okay, nice. I'll give you that. I went Tom Curry, Manu at hooker, and I've gone Joe Thockin as singer as the other prop because I need a line-out option. Mm. Gareth at 9. So he gets the clean sweep.
Yeah.
I've gone Finn Russell at 10. Gary Ringrose in the centre with Anthony Watson on the wing. And then I've got Aaron Wainwright...
Bolter, oh, yeah.
Speedy, and another line-out option, Jack Noel and Jordan Lama on the bench. I think Tom probably takes it.
Just for picking two.
Just for picking two.
Having the smarts to have a pick two actual people who've played sevens.
Very sensible. Funny enough, we mentioned Mike Friday earlier. Love to have him in, actually, talking sevens, talking rugby in the USA. He's going to come on in January, apparently. Says producer size.
Phil
nice.
Greening as well, but they're obviously in camp in the US at the moment, getting ready for Dubai.
Yes. Doing Dubai 10s.
Yeah.
That is...
It's a good trip.
Yeah. You did that for...
It's joining Jack.
Yeah.
Joining Jack. Are you doing that again?
I go next week.
Is that with...
In fact,
Andy
Tins made an appearance a couple of years ago, didn't you?
Did you? How was that?
Yeah. He was manning.
Did you play, or did you just...
No, he manned the corporate tent. Yeah, looked after all the wives. Yeah.
Strong. You were social secretary.
My game kicked off about 7 p.m. It finished about 4 a.m.
4 a.m. that day, or deeper into the week? Like the old times. Is that with Andy Farrell and...
Yeah, so he was supposed to play, but I think he's got bad shoulder.
Right.
We've got Kurt Gidley. We've got Pat Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mick Cassidy.
Wigan?
Yeah. Wigan. There's a lot of Wigan.
Absolutely.
Andy Johnson. I'm not sure whether he's playing or not this year. Scoey.
Bloody hell.
I feel like I could give this a go when Scoey's playing.
Are you going? Yes, exactly.
So Team beat us last year. They just mauled the life out of us. Yeah. League lads were like, "What? How'd you stop that?"
Yeah. You've got a few players in there, though.
Yeah, it's great.
Particularly if it gets physical. I bet all you old warlords still trade a bit when you get going.
So
your ego can't. I am
definitely not one of those people. There is one person that springs to mind who ruins every game that I've ever played in. That's Rory Jenkins. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Self, yeah.
What a jaw.
Bosch.
Yeah.
We once played. Did you? Were you
And he was just kicking off on people.
Yeah. Right. So we did. I did Calm Bermuda. Was it Bermuda? We did go to Bermuda.
No, it wasn't.
No. We did it in Bermuda. And we had, it was semi-final against Africa, and South Africa don't need it. And he literally on the bench, and it's like, Bosch, just relax when you come on. And he literally runs on going, let's kick their fucking heads in!
Oh, God. It's a couple of years ago,
stage right.
We came up against a load of Fijians. Right. So obviously Scully, myself and Quates are like, oh, God, we just don't need this.
Yeah.
Rugby League lad's response was, can't fucking run with no teeth. It was like, right. Jeez.
Also not strictly true.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were like, can't run without your teeth.
Excuse me, it's actually you can't run without your legs.
Yes, exactly.
Tackle like, I wouldn't have
offered that as a comeback.
Can't run with no teeth. All right, lads.
Breed them tough up north.
Yeah.
That is it. I've really enjoyed it.
That's been great.
Thank you very much indeed for coming on. What a yarn.
Thanks for having me.
Good for you two to have an old spa. Just think.
Just get it out.
Just think what it might have been. It's like that Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors moment.
Therapy.
That is it for this week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to the House of Rugby. Don't forget to watch and download some of Joe's other programming, including Pioneers with John Amici and Liquid Football with Kelly Cates. Good luck once again to Cole Frampton in Vegas in the early hours of Sunday morning. Fingers crossed for the great man. Thank you to Tins. Thank you to Tom May as well. Good luck this week to the Hask in Australia. Keep voting for
Stay
the legend.
Strong.
Stay strong with the bollocks and all that kind of malarkey.
Nice Hask.
From all of us, have a good week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.co.uk for the facts.